Grace to you and peace from the Creator who pulled together dust and mud and breathed life. Son who knew death and could not be held by it. And from the Holy Spirit who still today is moving among us, breathing life where it has no business. Amen. I want you to hear the gospel. For those of you who are around for first service, it's a different sermon, okay? One of my favorite people of all time is a guy who my kids called Grandpa Alex. Grandpa Alex went with Grandma Linda, and they were members of my first congregation in Washington State. Grandpa Alex was a bit of a character. He retired when he was 42. Just let that sink in for a second, right? Aspirations, goals. He built, as a young man, a very successful construction company. And he, with all of his guys, built most of the luxury homes that line Lake Coeur d'Alene and Lake Ponderay in North Idaho. And one day, as you do, late at night, at a bar, he sold his business. He realized he was 42 and that his dad had had a heart attack when he was 42. And he didn't want to work until he died. And so then and there on a napkin, they worked out the basic terms, and he never worked another day in his life. By the time that I knew him, he was 80. He beat me on the golf course for a year and a half straight. Shot his age, or better, most of the time. And because he was a blue-collar guy, because he liked a few beers, because he hung out on the golf course, his vocabulary had a particular slant. And so when we would stop over at Grandma Linda's house afterward for an Arnold Palmer, she would remind him, "Alex, don't talk like that. The pastor's here." Or she would say things like, "Alex, the pastor," all the time to him. It was about 6 months into my ministry that Alex and I had parallel adventures that I didn't know about until years later. I met with the bishop of the Eastern Washington Idaho Synod and told him, I can't do this. He's like, literally cannot feed my family. And so I'm going to have to leave ministry and leave the church so that I can take care of them. My congregation, when I started, had 45 people. And so my salary, my compensation and guidelines was well below what it should have been, what it could be. And we prayed together, and he said to me, "I can't make you not leave. I understand why you're doing that. But I think you should give it some time." The same time, Grandpa Alex learned that my pension had not been paid for the first 6 months of my career. That my congregation, not able to pay my salary, had not paid into my pension. Excuse my language, little Grandpa Alex, it pissed him off. And Grandpa Alex recruited a couple of others from the congregation, and they caught my pension up. And then, unknown to anyone else, he went to the president of the congregation's home, and he met with him, and he said to him, "We're going to change how we're paying our pastor and how we're running our congregation, and I'll take care of it." Sorry. I didn't know that for years. I knew that I hadn't been compensated. I knew all of those things, but I didn't know that it was him. Somebody who I loved so dearly. At Christmas, Alex started a tradition with our family. He gave us a Christmas present, as many do. Many of you do the same thing. But he gave it to us the week of Thanksgiving. And then he and Grandma Linda came over to our house, and they gave our kids the biggest presents that they received that first year. Only Grandpa and Grandma Benson and Grandpa and Grandma Ortman came close. But in those first 3 or 4 years of being swamped in student debt, being young parents who had no clue how to get ourselves standing on our own 2 feet, Grandpa Alex made a lot of Christmas at the Ortman house possible. I played golf with Grandpa Alex. I traveled around the country. I went on a cruise with Grandpa Alex. That's a different day and a different sermon. Maybe not a sermon. Maybe a pub talk. And Grandpa Alex, he liked to complain. In fact, he complained so much that near the end of his life, I often would stop at the nurses' stations at hospitals and nursing homes and hospice care places and say, "I'm sorry, and thank you for the care that they were offering to this ornery man." I may or may not have helped him to meet his little baby puppy for the last time in the hospital. And I may or may not have listened as he told me about how he had purchased the homes for each of his children and his grandchildren, how he'd bought them their first cars, paid for their weddings, and never heard a word of thanks. And he would still do it. He'd give them the shirt off his very back. But boy, would he just like to hear that word. Eventually, Grandpa Alex's big heart killed him, quite literally. And when we got together for his funeral, 89-year-olds don't have overflowing funerals. They just don't. Their friends and folks are gone. People who've been retired for 47 years don't have overflowing funerals. We were standing room only down the ramp in the fellowship hall. And as we told the stories of Grandpa Alex, as we heard about who he was, we realized that we were me. People who Grandpa Alex had cared for. At one point, perhaps for a short time. But each and every one had been touched by his care, by his generosity, by his hospitality. As we hear tonight's gospel, "Do not store up treasures here on this earth, but in heaven," I suppose I have only one thing to say to you. Maybe not live like Grandpa Alex. Alex, the pastor. But love like Grandpa Alex. Love like Grandpa Alex. Amen.